The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to January 19th, 2021. Are we still trusting the plan? Hey, if you want to convert some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, or maybe even your IRA and 401k, talk to Tony Arterburn, our sponsor over at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus. Chris
Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. I appreciate you checking us out. I know you have a lot of options out there. Thank you for subscribing, for rating the show, and writing a nice little comment about it. It all matters to the algorithm. I appreciate it. Let's get this information out there, so feel free to share it with your friends and family. I can't do the show without the amazing support of our sponsor. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to give us our own webpage. You can get there going to prepare with macroaggressions.com, and then it takes you to a version of their site. You'll get a discount on some of the products that you buy there. They have emergency survival food. They have survival items, water filtration, air purification. They even have seeds. So let's take advantage of this time before all of the insanity. Hopefully it doesn't come, but worst case scenario, you're stuck with extra food. There are worse things to invest in. So do yourself a favor, check it out. Prepare with macroaggressions.com and save yourself some money. Well, there's been a lot happening in the United States over the last week or so. The Capitol was stormed. Did you hear? Did you hear all about it? I heard it was worse than 9/11. Yeah. That's according to some dipshits that call themselves journalists. They described it as being worse than 9/11, the Capitol being stormed. To call that journalistic malpractice would be a bit of an understatement. I don't know if people are just, they're just so polarized these days, that, you know, any little thing that Donald Trump does or doesn't do, anything they can tie to him, the left just goes apeshit. They just overreact, even totally contradict earlier statements that they've made. You know, they talk about how the BLM riots were justified, and they weren't even riots. They were just mostly peaceful protests, you know, like literally standing in front of a microphone with a building burning behind them. And I don't mean it in like a figurative sense. I mean, in a literal sense, I remember seeing that. And it's, you're just like, holy shit. You're going to stand there with a straight face and say that this is mostly peaceful protesting, that this is totally fine, and then pretend that the Capitol raid, storming, whatever you want to call it, was somehow a crime against humanity and somehow worse. I mean, have you seen the I don't think surveillance video is the right term for it, because that implies like kind of grainy footage, just like the closed circuit footage from inside the Capitol of all of these people that were storming it. And you know how they have like poles, like stanchion poles with the little, the little ropes that hang off of it to kind of direct you into a single file line. Well, all these people that were raiding the Capitol were all like following and going down that single file line. They were all walking. They're taking pictures. I mean, they look like tourists. They look like people that like were lost on the tour, or they're like, oh, this museum is fantastic. The media is pretending like those people came in there with chainsaws. You know, they look like they actually, what it really looked like is, they were on their way to like a Renaissance fair festival, and like the bus broke down in front of the Capitol, and they all went into like, hey, can we use the bathroom? And like, came, that's what it looked like to me. Yes, they took a podium, put it on my tab. That's fine. It's a podium. Now, then it got kind of weird, because then some people were breaking into, you know, there was like footage of them breaking into part of the Capitol, and you think, well, shit, they're breaking into it. That doesn't look good. But then there's other footage, video footage, on the other side of the building where the cops are standing there with the doors open, and people are just walking in, not storming it, not throwing people at, not climbing over people, just walking in the door that's open. So which is it? Were they breaking in to storm the Capitol and overthrow the government? Or were they walking in the back door like VIPs with the police opening barriers? We saw that. We saw police opening, removing barriers and saying, come this way, you know, signaling for people that were outside to come this way up the stairs and up towards the Capitol. So, I mean, somebody was allowing this to happen. And then, you know, but look, I've seen enough of these. I've seen enough of these events to recognize when things are being allowed to happen. When they're setting this up, they're setting up people here. It just has that feel. Like, you know, like if you read Sun Tzu's Art of War, it talks about like, you know, being where your enemy doesn't expect you. When you announce a date like January 6th, we're all going to be in Washington, D.C., right here at this one place, and we're all going to protest against those baddies over there, and you make it so specific, you don't think there's some sort of countermeasures? You don't think that they don't have agent provocateurs picked out already to flow right into that crowd disguised as Trump people and start acting like assholes? Of course they do. Now, I'm not trying to say that there aren't Trump people out there acting like assholes. I'm most definitely not trying to say that. But you understand that what they want, what the system, what the big government wants, is for the people to act out of line so that they have the excuse to crack down harder on you and enact all sorts of laws and restrictions and removals of rights and privileges and things like that from us, under the guise of protecting us from domestic terrorists. Oh, you can see it now, can't you? All you have to do is call somebody a domestic terrorist now. I mean, that's like the N-word, you know, that you can't, it's this is bad. This is horrible. If people are, you know, talking about you as a domestic terrorist or talking about you like as a racist or something like that, they don't have to prove it. They just have to mention it. Mention that you said these words, you know, he said the N-word once. Like, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. You're automatically stained, you know? Oh, but this guy's a domestic terrorist. Yeah, he thinks that the government is crooked. Well, Jesus Christ, they'd have to bring half the country in for questioning. You know what I mean? This is going to be a catch-all term that just gets indiscriminately slapped on people that are talking about the truth. No proof required. You'll be shunned immediately. Maybe even probably arrested. I smell the Patriot Act 2 electric boogaloo coming. Don't you? Can't you see it? I guarantee you, there's a 3,000 page bill sitting on somebody's shelf right now that's all about domestic terrorism. And let me tell you, the things that they are going to implement in the name of protecting us from domestic terrorism will change our lives forever. This is quite serious, because we're about to let the genie out of the bottle, and we're not going to be able to put it back in. If you remember back after 9/11, if you were Middle Eastern or in Muslim in particular, but not limited to that, you were getting looks, you know, you were getting persecuted. You know, people were judging you. People were in some cases like attacking, like, you know, Sikhs, you know, they would see the turban and attack them and be like, you fucking Muslim. I mean, not even knowing that it's not even the same religion, you know, just being so ignorant and so blinded with hate and fear and, you know, America, that you want to just take it out on someone. Those fucking Arabs that did this 9/11 to us, even though it wasn't Arabs that did 9/11 to us, you know. And I feel this push. I feel this new boogeyman, the domestic terrorist. He might be your neighbor. He looks just like anybody. He could be that guy, you know, but he's probably white, and he's most likely a Christian, and he might like Trump, and he definitely has a gun, and he possibly owns a red hat. You know what I mean? And so, like, if you're that person, if you fit that profile, like, you're going to be looked there. If they decide they want to take you down, if they want to put this plan in place, you're first on the list. You realize that, right? If you're MAGA, like MAGA all the way through, the loss of this election means you are now the hunted. It's coming. It's starting on social media, but it's not going to be limited there. They're going to enact new legislation targeting domestic terrorists. And the image that they paint of a domestic terrorist is you. Now, I don't think you're a domestic terrorist, and I'm sure you know you're not a domestic terrorist. But that's not going to matter, because what we have learned throughout the year 2020 and now into 2021 is that Americans in large numbers are really dumb. They're easily misled. You can rile them up and you just point them at who you want them to hate, and they will hate the hell out of them. And that is you. It's happening in the media right now. I recognize the signs of this, and I am saying this as a warning to any of my MAGA listeners. I've got no beef with you guys at all. I want what's best for America too, and I think that the left is out of their fucking mind. For sure. I have a lot in common with the MAGA people, but I am anti-government. So that makes me kind of, you know, I can only go so far down that path. You know, I want freedoms and liberties, and I think people should have guns and things like that. Even though I don't personally love guns, I think people should have that and have that right for sure. I'm in favor of more rights. Always more rights, freedoms of speech, freedoms of everything. I'm in favor of all of that. I don't want any of that shit taken away. But I have concerns for the MAGA crowd. I am worried for them, because we've already seen over this past year that the left is comprised of unhinged maniacs. Really. I always, like, growing up, I always considered myself, you know, pretty liberal. I mean, I'm more like, I guess, libertarian, but I didn't really know that that was a thing. I'm just more of like a do your own thing, as long as you're not harming anybody. It's none of my business. And if you don't mind, stay out of my business as well. You know, so I'm a live and let live type of person. But I think the left has gone so far crazy, and because of Trump, I mean, he really triggered the shit out of them. Maybe they'll calm down now that he's out of office. I don't know, but the left has now feels like it's payback. They had 4 years of your bullshit, and now they're in charge, and they're not going to be magnanimous about this and be like, let's just all take the time to heal. You know, that bullshit term. We want to take some time and heal. I don't think they're going to be pushing for that. I think they're going to be pushing for retribution and payback. And so we're seeing that already. And Biden isn't even inaugurated yet. And we're already seeing Parler get kicked off of the app stores, vanished. We've seen Donald Trump kicked off of Twitter, kicked off of Facebook. They canceled the PGA tour was going to be at a Trump owned venue in 2022. They canceled that. So they're sending the message. It's hunting season. If you've got a problem with these people, these Donald Trump people or people associated with him, let's fucking get them. That's what they're saying. That's what the left is saying. You know, the tolerant left, they just want fairness and balance and everyone to have equal rights, except you. Fuck you. I want you to die. I want your kids to get, oh, you anti-vaxxers. I hope your kids get measles and fucking die. That's what they're all about. Out of their fucking minds. Hypocritical, the most hypocritical, and now they've got power, and they want to speak to the manager right fucking now. So, MAGA people, you might need to go underground for a little bit. I'm kind of half joking, you know? I'm just saying, be careful out there, because there's a lot of people that are feeling empowered. A lot of low IQ morons feeling empowered to go start a revolution or do whatever they think they're doing, whatever LARP they think they're participating in. Be careful of them. They're dangerous because they're very dumb and they're easily led, which is why they're participating in all of this stuff, this Antifa stuff. They don't understand. They don't understand what they've gotten themselves into. They have no concept of history. You watch what happened in Nazi Germany. You know, they're so quick to, everyone's so quick to call Trump Hitler and that he's a Nazi. Well, Antifa has a lot in common with the brown shirts. The brown shirts what brought Hitler to power, promising to, you know, give me all the power and I'll restore order back to this. You know, it's a line that dictators give you early on. Just give me all the power temporarily and I'll get this shit sorted out real quick so that we can get back to normal. The people always fall for that. In Hitler's case, he had the brown shirts, his bullies that he could sic on people that got on the wrong side of him. He could march them through. He could break up their businesses. He could drag them out into the streets. He could scare the shit out of them with the brown shirts. Like Antifa. The left has that. That's what Antifa is. It's the brown shirts. Not very well trained, you know, but cannon fodder, you know, disposable. But what happened to the brown shirts? You don't hear much about them. You know, I hear about the SS. Well, what the brown shirts didn't realize was that Hitler was growing a parallel organization called the SS that the brown shirts didn't know about. And this was a more elite fighting unit comprised of fewer people, better trained, better equipped. And when the time was right, and when the havoc had been caused throughout Europe by the brown shirts, when they had served their purpose of stirring up all this chaos in all the cities and creating this panic, Hitler had the SS wipe out the brown shirts because he didn't need them anymore and he didn't want any witnesses. So good luck, Antifa. If you don't understand history, you have nobody to blame but yourself. If you look into this, you will see quite clearly you are being used. You will be disposed of when the time comes, because that's how this works. And, you know, I wonder, serious question to the Q people out there. What are you saying? How are you feeling about this plan? What happened to the plan? I would like an explanation of why it didn't happen from the Q people. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm being sincere when I say this. I would like somebody that is an avid Q person to explain why it never panned out. Did somebody block it? Did Trump get compromised? Did he give up? Was it never? I mean, I'm being serious here. I know some people will say, fuck, it was all made up to begin with. Maybe, yeah. But I liked what they said was going to happen. You know, I mean, I was in favor. I think everyone was. Round up, drain the swamp, round up the deep state, expand Guantanamo Bay. We even heard that. Arrest all the pedos. And who wouldn't want that? Those things all sound great. Where is it? You drained the swamp? You brought Elliot Abrams and John Bolton in. When you do that, you can never claim to be draining the swamp. You just can't. Not in good conscience. Can you look into a camera and say, I'm draining this swamp, while simultaneously having meetings with John Bolton and Elliot Abrams and Mike Pompeo and Donald Barr? So that was my first indicator that Trump was not telling us the truth was that when he said, I never believed him to begin with, but I'm just saying, benefit of the doubt. Let's just humor him and say, all right, let's pretend you're telling us the truth. First things first, you're going to drain the swamp. That was your big thing. Great. Let's see how you drain the swamp. I'll give you 2 years. Let's see how you do. Well, I added John Bolton and Elliot Abrams. Okay, well, automatic disqualification. That's not draining the swamp. All right, so you failed on that. Is Hillary Clinton in jail? No, that was never going to happen. But, you know, wishful thinking. I mean, it might have gotten Trump elected, to be fair. That comment, or you'd be in jail. I mean, that was, I got to tell you, that was a right hook. That was like comedic gold, you know, bam, right in the jaw. That was like when Tulsi took out Kamala. Sometimes these idiots walk right into it. They're such narcissistic psychopaths that they don't even realize that they shouldn't be saying the things they say, and they walk right into it. And yeah, Trump, I think I've always felt like what put him over the edge getting elected or selected, whatever, was when he said that Hillary, he'd put her in jail. But did that ever happen? I didn't see it. You know, no. I mean, I heard about ankle bracelets. Believe me, I heard about those and leg casts and with monitoring devices and body doubles. And I heard about, you know, secret courts where they were offered, you know, death by firing squad or, you know, and allowing themselves to keep their legacy intact. I mean, I heard all this shit. I heard it all. I heard rounding up the pedos. I heard cracking computers. I heard Anthony Weiner's laptop, frazzle drip, all of it. We've got all of it. I heard that. I heard we've got all of it. I heard all. So you have all of it? There's two possibilities. Either you don't have any of it, or you have all of it and you chose not to do anything with it over 4 years. Which is worse? Either you're full of shit or you're a psychopathic maniac. Not good options here. I wanted you, Q people, I wanted it to be true. I wanted to offer up I wanted to do an entire episode where I just apologize profusely to all of the Q people because they were right. Because to do that would mean that he had drained the deep state. He had, you know, rounded up the pedos. He had put Hillary Clinton and the Podestas and all these people in prison. I would gladly apologize and say that I was wrong, so wrong, if it meant that all of those things happened. But they didn't happen. They never happened. They were never going to happen. It was all a gigantic fantasy. It's busy work. Q is busy work. You know how tweakers take apart radios? They get all fascinated with the wires and they take them all apart. The problem is they can't ever put them back together. I feel like that's what the Q thing was. Conspiracy tweakers pulling apart wires, trying to put it back together. It just didn't fucking ever work. So congratulations. You wasted all of your time with this. It's like Dungeons and Dragons for conspiracy Republicans or something. It's fucking embarrassing. You know, and I was always very neutral on it. And the reason why I was neutral on it was this. I did like the fact that it was waking people up to government bullshit. I liked that. I didn't like that immediately after waking you up, they pushed you into the Republican Party. That part I didn't like. with the Q thing, that it was trust the plan, Trump's coming, you know, the Republicans, we're all going to take care of it. So it's like, wake up, listen to us. We're telling you that the government is run by maniacs and they're all up to no good. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm awake. And they're like, now listen, go over here to the right and we'll sort it out there and trust the plan and wait for something to happen. So they wake you up, take you over to the right, as opposed to the left, meaning Republican side, you know, they take you over to the right, and they say, all right, now that you're awake, just wait here. Trust the plan. It's coming. I didn't like, because that to me is not proactive. That is not wake up, your government is run by maniacs, let's go fix it. That's not what was happening with the Q movement. It was wake up and go stand over there on the right, and just wait. And I never liked that. But look, this is a process. Waking up to this stuff, it doesn't happen overnight, you know? I mean, it takes time. So I don't have hard feelings towards the Q people at all. You get one, okay? You step on your dick one time. You get one free pass. So you Q people, I give you guys a free pass. Let's just call this a learning experience. You know, you went through it. You got burned. You've been had. I'm sorry to tell you, but you've all been had. They got you. It happens to everyone. Okay. It's a shitty feeling, but it happens to everyone. Tell you what, this is your mulligan in golf. That's your free shot. You know, this is your mulligan. Be better next time about recognizing who's in charge of your movement. And if it seems like they're trying to divert you into a dead end. Be careful. These people that are running these psychological operations, they're very good at it. You know, I mean, it's an art form. They're professionals. They're very good at it. So you've, like I said, you've been had, but it's been by some people that do this for a living. And, you just have to acknowledge that, and it sucks, but this, my fear is that these Q people are now going to be targeted. You know, you're in this patriots category, but patriots and domestic terrorists, you know, it's going to wind up being interchangeable. I saw this video. God, it was a couple years ago. I want to say maybe like 2016 or so. And they're interviewing a guy who's a cop. I probably shouldn't even tell it because I don't even know the details of it. But he's like a cop or some sort of, maybe he's like National Guard or something. And they're asking him, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we're doing this role-playing exercise. You know, they're doing a drill. Like an actual drill, not one that turned into a false flag, but they were doing an actual drill. And they're like, well, what were you drilling against? He's like, well, we were doing this drill where we were up against these domestic patriots groups that were wanting, you know, that were like a militia, and we were role playing against that. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. So they've decided who the enemy is going to be. It's going to be these militia groups, these MAGAs, Q people. You remember the movie Heat, when they go out to that port in Long Beach and they're standing out there talking, the four guys, De Niro and Val Kilmer, those guys. And then they leave. Cops go down there. Cops are looking around going, what the fuck? What were these guys looking at? What are they? They're casing this joint. It doesn't make any sense. And then it all of a sudden it clicks in Al Pacino's head. They wanted to get us out in the open so they could see who was following them. We've been made. Oops, we've been made, you know, and he realizes that they set a trap for them. I feel like the Q people or Al Pacino and the cops that were lured out into the open where they could be clearly marked and identified and recognized. And I feel like you guys kind of stepped in that, you know? And, you know, I hope that that doesn't have some really bad repercussions because, you know, they've got to keep these boogeymen going, you know, and we've had Al-Qaeda and those terrorists out there for, you know, 20 years or so. But, you know, it's losing its effectiveness. We had the virus in 2020. That's been a pretty good one, but it's different. If we've got actual people that might be coming to get us and kill us and blow us up and everything, that still works the best, you know? And we've had the international terrorists for the last 20 years. This move is towards domestic terrorism. And it makes me very, very concerned because I could see this being used in some pretty horrific ways. Another aspect that has been pretty disturbing to me has been the social media banning of Trump and the removal of Parler from Amazon and from Apple and from Google Play and all that. This is disturbing. I've been clear. I'm no Trump fan. It's not about that. It's about removing speech. It's about removing people's ability to communicate. You know, it sets a really dangerous precedent, and we've seen the social media companies lean left. You know, so if you don't subscribe to their way of thinking, you are subject to deplatforming. And the thing about, you know, if your story that you're trying to sell everybody, your lie to the people, is good enough, you don't have to worry about deplatforming people. The problem is when you have a really flimsy story, like the COVID situation, you can easily poke holes in. If your story is very flimsy like that, you kind of have to ban people because otherwise they'll just point out the obvious flaws in the story. If you have a better lie, if your story is better, if your narrative is better, if it's, you know, if it's not 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters, but like a legitimate, believable story, then, you know, you don't have to worry about deplatforming people because it's a well-sold lie. But what we have right now, you know, what we've been living through with the COVID situation is just utter hypocrisy everywhere we turn, you know, talking about, you know, don't wear a mask. Yeah, you got to wear a mask, you know. Virus goes, you know, you got to go in this direction and you got to go down this aisle, that direction and all this stuff. And Fauci wearing a mask and then at the baseball game without a mask and, you know, just total fucking insanity. That story is such, you know, it's such bullshit. It's so obviously fake that they kind of have to get rid of people like Alex Jones and David Icke and, you know, big name people. If I was in charge of selling that horrible lie, I'd probably want to ban the people too. I'd be like, get rid of that guy. That guy is exposing us. He's just nailing it. You know, you've got to shut him up, you know? So yeah, I get it. I understand why they ban all these people. You have to, expect more of it. You know, I'm on Twitter. At Macroaggression. I mean, how I'm still on Twitter, I don't know. I was removed in February of 2020. and started a new account with zero people. And I don't know, I've like had like, I think like 3,000. I don't have a very big following, but I have, you know, I have fun with it. I don't expect to be there forever. I know that I can't say certain things, you know, I already know that. So there's self-censorship going on, you know, and then there's this overt censorship, like removing Trump. Look, I don't like Donald Trump, but I don't like them telling people they can't participate in this for over bullshit reasons. You know, oh, Trump incited violence, told them to storm the Capitol. The Capitol? Dude, they were walking into it. That's not a revolution. That's like it looked like they were going to a concert. It didn't look like they were going to a revolution. And the clutching of the pearls. Oh, it was like 9/11 all over again. No, it was not. You fucking liars. No, it was not. It was not. You pathological liars. And yet I heard that. The storming of the Capitol was a stain on our democracy. Stop it. You stop that. A stain on our democracy? Every single person in Congress is bought off. You are by nature, by the nature of the game, by raising money for your campaigns. You take in money from people that expect something. That's how it works. It's a shitty system. But don't pretend like Donald Trump invented corruption or invented dysfunctional government and like everything was perfect until this guy came along. I mean, stop. It's so short-sighted and incorrect. Look, I don't like Donald Trump either, but let's not pretend like he invented problems in Washington, D.C. That's a very corrupt place. Duh. But it's self-policing, but he isn't part of the team. Remember what Newt Gingrich said before Trump was inaugurated? He said he's going to have a very hard time in Washington, D.C. because he's not part of the secret societies. That's what he said. And he's right. Jesus Christ, Newt Gingrich told the truth on television once. It's amazing. But he's right. Trump is a threat to them. You know, he may go along, get along with some of it, but he's not blood in, blood out with these guys. They all know they're in it. They're in the club. And they know what that means, that they're not getting out. But they're not sure about him. They never were. They never trusted him. Why would you? I mean, I'm not blaming them for not trusting him, but they never trusted him. The Republicans either, because they knew he'd always been a lifelong Democrat, so they didn't trust him. And the Democrats, obviously, they have no incentive to trust him, but he never really had a chance. And I don't for a second think that he intended to make gigantic sweeping changes, but you know, I'll tell you who I think was poisonous though, was Jared Kushner. I don't trust that guy at all. I don't know who he works for. I don't think he works for the United States government, if you know what I mean. I think that guy has other interests, and I don't trust him one bit. And I don't. And his relationship with the president was concerning to me from the beginning. So, you know, my feelings on this, you know, the ending of Trump is that there's aspects of him I liked. I liked that he told the media that they were fake news, because they are. I liked that he made establishment Washington, D.C. assholes very nervous, because they should be. I liked that he gummed up some of the way the system works. You know, anybody that's slowing up the system and creating problems for it, I like that. I like that because the system, the way they have it set up right now, is self-serving for them. at the expense of us. And in a way that is so devious and malicious, and they have such contempt for us. So anything that breaks up that system, I'm in favor of. So I liked those things about Trump, but I didn't ever get the feeling that he was independent of his handlers, you know, the moneyed interest that put him there, Sheldon Adelson and people like that. You know, I always knew he had strong ties to Israel. You know, he was going to do their bidding, which he did, which, I mean, to be fair, they all do. It's sort of the way it is these days, and has been for a while. You know, so I think he was just a little bit more enthusiastic about it. But I don't know if Israel ever really fully trusted Trump. I think they buttered him up with like Trump land or Trumpville. No, Trump Heights. And it was something like that. Like, hey, we have Trump Heights for you. And he's like, oh, this is great. You're like patting him, you know, getting his ego going. But I don't think they ever fully trusted Trump. I think they trust Biden though. So, you know, there were things about Trump, you know, he launched the missile attacks and, on Iran, you know, and the Soleimani attack, I thought was fucking retarded. I mean, like, a sort of a subset of that, speaking of missile attacks on Iran, that was the one and only time that the mainstream media, center left, so CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, all those. That was the only time they ever gave Trump credit for anything, was when he launched that missile attack. Do you remember that? You remember Brian Williams describing the missile attack as beautiful, the beauty of our weaponry, and describing it and comparing it to a Leonard Cohen song? That shithead, Brian fucking Williams, that Ken doll, that pathological liar. That's the only time the mainstream media gave Trump credit, was when he bombed Iran, the airfield, and like apparently, you know, it wasn't the best, you know, he didn't hit exactly where they were trying to hit, but I don't know. I got the feeling it was kind of more symbolic than anything. I don't know. I just despise the mainstream corporate horror media so much. They're so devious. And I noticed that. And I think a lot of people noticed it too, that they bent over backwards to praise Trump. This is the night he became our president, was what they said, because he launched missiles into a country that hadn't done anything to us. This is the night he became our president. You fucking traitors at the mainstream media. You fucking traitors. You're such propagandists. So, you know, I didn't love that about Trump. He had an opportunity though, you know, he had an opportunity to get some things done. He got us out of the Paris Climate Accord, which I think is a good thing. He got us out of the TPP, which I think is a good thing as well. But not enough victories. I mean, you know, remember he said, you're going to get tired of winning. I didn't get tired of winning. I didn't feel like I was winning at all, really. That being said, and clearly not being a Trump supporter, I think that the left stole the election. I do. If that's a classification of people, if you say you're an election stealer or something, but if there's a designation of a belief system that's we're going to get categorized as and pitted against one another, then you could put me in that camp. I'm in the camp that thinks that there was election fuckery. And I don't say, and I preface that by saying I'm not a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for either one of those people. I would not. But I do think I just will never be able to accept that Joe Biden got 80 million votes. I mean, he couldn't get people to show up at his rallies. He just didn't. Nobody showed up. They showed up at Trump's, like, all over the place. 50,000, 70,000, 20 miles of cars, you know, all that shit. That's Trump. That's how I feel about Trump after 4 years. You know, he was the chaos president. He was the bull in the china shop. He was brought in to divide people. God damn, did he do a great job of it. You know, he's an entertainer. He's a showman. He's a narcissist, you know. I don't think he's Satan. I don't think he's Adolf Hitler. I don't think he's any of those things. I really don't. I think he grew up privileged. I think he's your typical run-of-the-mill rich asshole. That's what I think he is. I don't think he's drinking baby's blood. I don't think he's in that Rockefeller Rothschild camp. You know what I mean? The adrenochromes. I think he's just your typical run-of-the-mill rich prick. You know, treats his servants kind of shitty. You know, he's got lawsuits against everybody. Everyone has lawsuits against him. He's got thousands of lawsuits against his corporations. And I understand he runs a major corporation. But, you know, he had Roy Cohn as his mentor, who is a psychopath of epic proportions. You know, these are not great role models. And Trump has a history of slow paying his bills or stiffing contractors and all these things. And I've mentioned before, I work in real estate and I've worked for developers and I understand how that stuff goes. And it's really frustrating. And developers are some, you know, a lot of times they're people that are wealthy, but they're just riding that line between fraud and, you know, legitimacy. And, I think Trump is a guy that, I give him credit. I give him credit for, you know, running for president and being enthusiastic about it and taking all those diet pills or whatever the fuck he's taking to keep him going. He is, he's a fascinating guy. He triggers people like nobody I have ever. He's the most polarizing person I think I've ever seen. It's very few people are indifferent on him. You know, they love him or they hate him. It's fascinating. But as a president, you know, we've heard people say, is he the worst president ever? Is he the worst president in our lifetime? No, not if you've lived through Bill Clinton. If you want to talk about the most damaging president in our lifetime, Bill Clinton takes the cake on that. In my opinion, and I know that, listen, they're all shitheads. There is room for debate on this topic. My personal pick is Bill Clinton. I understand a case can be made for George H.W. Bush, who I do think is the worst person, one of the worst person that I've seen during my lifetime. You know, so I'm just careful on the Trump stuff. I just don't have the energy one way or the other with him. I don't know why. He never triggered me. I felt like I could always sort of see a little bit of the showman in him, you know? And I couldn't tell. And I still can't tell. Is he putting us on? You know, is he trolling us? Like, is he fucking with us? Or is he really this character, you know, this tweeting maniac? Is he, you know, like when Stephen Colbert, his whole persona early on was this character, and you weren't really sure if it was really him or a character played by him. I get that with Trump sometimes. Like, I feel like, is this guy real or is he fucking with us? Because some of the stuff is just so out there that you feel like it all, like you go like, is Tavistock Institute behind this? You know, I feel like this is like a, maybe a psychological operation. I don't know. It's all fascinating. I'm not enthusiastic about Biden coming in. I have real fears about this guy, man. I don't like him. He is a dangerous psychopath. And if you survive half a century in Washington, D.C. at these high levels like Biden has, that is because you are ruthless and smart. He might not be as sharp as he used to be, but this is a dude that knows how to navigate. You don't get to these positions and stay there unless you understand how the game works. So if Biden is at his full mental capacity and he's, you know, healthy, I have fears about him because I think he's a dangerous man. If he's unhealthy and he's kind of Weekend at Bernie's-ish sort of situation going on where the administration is calling the shots and he's the corpse, so to speak, then I'm really nervous because you get the feeling that you're going to be getting the World Economic Forum. You're going to be getting the Bill and Melinda Gates group. You're going to be getting, you know, the banks and all of, I mean, you're going to get that stuff anyway, but you're not going to get any sort of, barriers like you would have had with Trump. For better or worse, you know, Trump created confusion and chaos, which made it more difficult for these people to put their plans into place. So that's, you know, score one for Donald Trump on that. I don't think that was his intention, but he's the dysfunction in his administration and everything made it just so much more difficult for them to accomplish these goals than they will have with Biden. And the Biden administration will be like, do whatever you need to do. We're fully on board. The Davos crowd is the Biden administration. They're interchangeable. And that's my fear. Because this push towards Build Back Better, which the Biden administration used, remember? He used it in his campaign. There's a reason why he used it. The World Economic Forum is talking through him. They are whispering in his ear, Build Back Better. And then he's saying it because they've got him. That's how you make it half a century in politics. You get got sometimes. And so one era comes to a close. The Trump era is complete, barring some inauguration miracle. And Make America Great Again is now just going to be, I guess, a punchline, and Q is going to be relegated to the flat earth pile. And we move on from there. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends. Your little machine has a button. You can just share it on social media. I certainly do appreciate your support. And if you rate the show and write a little nice note, I appreciate that as well. Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.